Amen. We can clap. You can shout. Man, if we have anybody that needs to go downstairs at this point, I'll go ahead and let you go. And for all of us that are going to be up here together, open up your Bible to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And for those of you that were here last week, or maybe you tuned in the parking lot, we had some people out in the parking lot last week, as we do, I think, this week. Man, it's just good to be back in church. And I just love getting to see all of your smiling faces or your frowning faces, whatever you came to church with. Maybe you had a long car ride with your spouse. I don't know. But man, I'm just excited to be back. I'm just excited to be able to worship together and get in Sunday school together and drink coffee together and just get back to normal as much as we can. Obviously, it's not there yet. But we began a series last week, kicking off the new year, titled Hills and Valleys, in which we're going through the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. You know, Joseph, the one that had the coat of many colors. We know Joseph, Jacob's son, and we are reading his life from the time in which he had dreams at a very early age in his 17, 18-year-old self. We're going to read all the way until his very death. And we're examining in this series the experiences that Joseph had, both good and bad. And what we're doing is we're going to see that God was with him through each moment, the good and the bad. And what we're going to do is we are going to learn from Joseph how to walk through the good and the bad, the valley lows and the hilltops, knowing that God is with us. So our ultimate goal, and my prayer and my hope for all of us, is that we will be able to become spiritually mature enough and close enough with the Lord to walk the exact same way in the valley as we do on the hilltop. That is my ultimate prayer, my ultimate goal for us, and is also to know that God was with Joseph just as he is with you, with me. But I want to go ahead and start this message by getting it out of the way and letting you know that this promise that God to be with us only comes and it is only offered to those who live in Christ. We have to be in Christ. We have to abide in Christ and Christ abide in us in order to experience the provision of God, the promises of God, the presence of God, the guidance of God. We have to be in Christ, meaning we cannot choose to live in sin and reject God and then expect to receive his blessings and his promise. We can't. So what we have to do is we have to first examine that we are to be in relationship with the Lord. And then when we live in relationship with the Lord, we will find that he walks with us. Who here has had a good moment in life? Just raise your hand. Now, on the other hand, who here has had a bad moment in life? So everyone seems to be on the same page, right? Jared, have you ever had a bad moment? Jared has never had a bad moment. But we've all had good and we've all had bad. The goal is for us to navigate each season of life, whether we're in a job promotion or whether we're in a waiting room or even a funeral home, to walk through every season the exact same way. So today's message, as we read through Genesis chapter 9, is it okay if I read like 23 verses of the Bible today? I'm going to read a little bit of the Bible, if that's all right. And we're going to work through it, and we're going to take some things away from it. But I titled this particular message, In the Good and the Bad in It All. In the Good and the Bad in It All. Genesis chapter 39. And here we go with Joseph, who had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house, and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and field. This goes back and gave me the thought last week that oftentimes when we live in God's blessing, it's not just for our benefit, but it's for many people. whether it brings him to salvation or whether it gives him comfort or hope. And then in verse 6 we see, so he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. He's put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, she had fled out the house. She called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home, Potiphar. And she told him the same story, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came into me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out the house." As soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, "This is the way your servant treated me," his anger was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were there. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. And the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made succeed. That's a lot of reading. That's a lot of Bible. But we see a lot in this particular text in a man who had just gone from being sold into slavery to a position of power and then falsely accused of something that he did not do and wrongfully imprisoned. For Joseph's sake, they did not have the reality TV shows that we have and the opportunities to submit his claim to the channel or to the station or the network and get out and have people fight for him. He was there by himself, and he was wrongly accused of something that they would have kept him there unless they killed him until he died on his own. He would have likely never gotten out for this offense. And here we are reading this man. Even in prison, the Bible tells us that the Lord was with him. So I want to mention or share with you a few things that we see in this particular section of Scripture, this chunk of Scripture, 23 verses, that we will be able to apply to our own lives to walk through the good times and in the bad. The good times and the bad, the painful times and the joyful times. And the first one is this, that our character should never be compromised. Your character should never be compromised. And what I mean by that is we see Joseph in Potiphar's house. We see one thing in him in Potiphar's house, as we also saw in him when he was threatened and hated by his brothers to be eventually left in a pit. What was it? Well, we see a man who lived with integrity. We see a man that was always willing to do what was right in the sight of the Lord. I mean, he lived with integrity enough to the point in which he was able to look at his brothers, know that they hated him, and then still report an accurate and honest account to his father, which then led his brothers to hate him even more and want to kill him even more. However, he continued to live with integrity and he continued to live with honor, And then we see him in Potiphar's house, given all the power he could ever have. He could do anything he wanted in this house. And whatever he did, the Lord made succeed. And he literally was in charge. In fact, he asked the man's own wife, "What is there in this house that I don't do? I mean, what is this? Your master, your husband, my master is not even, he's not any greater in this house than I am." He's literally saying that Potiphar had given him so much authority, so much power that he could do whatever he wanted. However, Joseph lived with an integrity and an honor to the Lord that he could do anything he wanted within reason. That we see Joseph, who was thrown into a pit by his own brothers, then raised to a power and a position of power in Potiphar's house, then falsely accused, wrongfully accused and imprisoned for something he didn't do. And we still see that he lived with integrity and he lived honest enough to not sin against the Lord and not sin against Potiphar. And one thing that we have to understand is that he was wrongfully accused and imprisoned. And if Joseph, like we're like many of us today, he may have come to the point, well, nothing else is happening right. What's the point of doing the right thing? I mean, what's the point of continuing to serve the Lord and worship the Lord or be good to people that offended me or wrongfully accused me? And this is one thing we have to live by if we want to be able to walk in the good times just like we do the bad. We have to understand that when we have been wronged, even if completely false, anytime that we've been wrong, it never excuses us from doing what is right. Anytime that we are wronged, we have no excuse to not do what is right. Just as Joseph, who was wronged in a very, very horrible way of something he did not do, he continued to live with integrity. Why? Because he gave an honest report to his father, just as he said no to a woman that he could have had a chance to say yes to day after day after day. He continued to live with honor and integrity. And this is what Proverbs 11, chapter 11, verse 3, part A says, that the integrity of the upright guides them. And we could discuss other Proverbs. I have other Proverbs written in my notes, and I have multiple writings of the Apostle Paul that address the topic of living with integrity. And Joseph shows us that in all things, that the circumstances around us should never dictate nor compromise our character within us. That we should not live differently when things are good as we do when things are bad. That we should not think about people differently when things are good, when they do things too. So that we should not treat people differently based off how they treat us. We should not love people differently because we feel that they are worthy of love or because of how good they may be to us. We should never compromise our own character because of the circumstances that we see around us, just as Joseph never did. And he was willing to, like I said, give honest reports to his father. He was willing to say no, and he possessed the character that many of us need to possess as well. So here's a few traits of the character that we must possess in order to navigate the good seasons and the bad, truly worshiping the Lord and walking with the Lord. First and foremost, we must be God-fearing, God-loving, and God-worshiping at all times. All times. We must live in humble adoration of the holiness and the righteousness of our God. We must love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we must worship Him with every breath that we have. When we come to that point, and that is the foundation of our personal character, it will translate so well in our other relationships and our other circumstances, and it will allow us to walk in the moments as Joseph walked, because what we see here is he goes from a position of power to the pits of prison, yet God was still with him. And Joseph was still with God. We must also be willing to love others, serve others, and live with integrity and honesty in pursuit of righteousness. And we must build a character of being devoted to doing the right thing at all times. It's just a character that we see in Joseph that we must possess within ourselves. And if we fail to possess a character and conduct ourselves following the Lord, worshiping the Lord, fearing the Lord, then we will often find that the circumstances around us will dictate how we feel, how we talk, how we treat, how we spend, how we sacrifice. So may we all be rooted in a God-fearing, God-loving, God-worshiping character. The second thing that we see in this particular story is the beauty of God's blessing. The beauty of God's blessing. We see that God blesses Joseph in Potiphar's house, just as he blessed him in prison. So let me ask you a question. This is really difficult for me whenever I began to read this and study this. How can a man in prison be considered blessed? I mean, how can a man who is wrongfully accused of something so heinous be blessed in prison? And it pushed me to dig deeper into this particular story, into my life and the lives of those around me that I consider my closest family and friends. And this is what I came to conclude. That many Christians battle the connection of God's blessing with perfect situations. Many Christians, many people battle that God's blessings will be transparent in a situation that comes perfect, or a relationship that becomes perfectly healed, or a season of life that is covered and forgotten about. And what happens is many of us, because of our own ignorance or because of our own immature faith and relationship with the Lord, we continue to battle with this. Maybe the rest of our lives, that we believe that God's blessings will only be transparent in perfect situations and fixed circumstances and external things. And whenever we see Joseph, we see a man that was blessed in prison just as much as he was in Potiphar's house while he had position. And in verse 5, the Bible says that Joseph was blessed. In verse 23, we see that Joseph was blessed. And here's something else we have to understand. We should never consider ourselves cursed because all the situations around us aren't always good. Just because life is not good right now does not mean that God has turned his back on you. It doesn't mean that you are cursed. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. Maybe we've heard the saying of, oh, I just wish God would change the situation. I just wish God would change things. And here's what the old saying goes, something like this, that many times we often cry out for God to change the situation, when God is really wanting to just change us. He may just be wanting to change you. He may just be wanting to change me, because you can be blessed in prison just as you are in a position of power, because we have to get into a spiritual maturity and we have to grow close enough to the Lord to know that the beauty of his blessing is not always in what we can see or touch. And this is what I know to be true in the people in my life that I consider the most blessed people. The most blessed people. The most blessed people in my life are those that are a little bit battle scarred. They're battle scarred. They've gone through the good times. They've gone through the bad times. They've experienced both. And it's not because they consider themselves to be blessed because they own the biggest or the best. And oftentimes, if we're immature in our faith, or if we unfortunately listen to an errant teaching that will tell us that the blessing of the Lord is in our wealth, or it's in our health, or it's in God giving us bigger, or God giving us more, never is that. Because if that were to be true, then we would have to consider Peter and Paul to be so unblessed by the Lord because they did not possess what the world wanted to tell us we should possess. I mean, we look at Paul, we look at Peter, we look at all of these martyrs in the Old Testament and the apostles that went and preached the gospel that were blessed beyond comprehension. But never did they possess the biggest and the best. They were battle scarred because of all of the circumstances that they walked in. And the people in my own life that I consider friends and family are battle scarred. They've walked through the good, they've walked through the valley, they've been on top of the mountain. And this is what we have to come to in our own lives. We have to grow spiritually mature enough to know that God's blessing is not always in us possessing the biggest or the best, but God's blessing, the beauty of it, is that we get to walk with and grow closer to the biggest and the best God ever. That you and I get to. And that in Joseph being blessed in Potiphar's house, being blessed in prison, teaches me that the blessing of God is not just, and it's never just, external factors. But it's always in his eternal his presence, power, promises. That is the beauty of God's blessing, that we get to live eternally in his presence, his power, and promise. And yeah, I'm not going to tell you that God may not bless you externally. You may have money. You may have power. You may have popularity. And all those things are okay if God's the one blessing you with it. But if that's what we come to worship, then shame on us and woe is me. So don't take it like, oh, I got to live poor the rest of my life. No, I'm not saying you have to. But I'd much rather you live poor physically than poor spiritually and not experience the true blessing that God has for you. So it leads me, and it really connects to my third point. My third point is, I just got to admit that my third point, it's... I got it written that the God that was is the God that will always be. Where the God that was will always be. The God that was will always be. The God that was will always be. And it connected to back to point two, which the beauty of God's blessing. And I'll share a story here in just a moment from this past week. But we have to know that the God that was will always be. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, in which we read that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And then verse 21, if you have your Bible open or if you have your smartphone out, I want you to go to verse 21 and you will read the very same words. But the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor. So we see that the God that was will always be. So the God that was with Joseph in verse 20 or verse 2 will be with Joseph in verse 21. So the God that was with Joseph in Potiphar's house as he held a position of power will be the same God with him as he lives imprisoned, living in the pits of a prison of something he did not do, wrongfully accused. And this point, I have to admit that maybe it's because I've experienced it firsthand over just the last couple of weeks. I've experienced this, and this is the point that I have felt the absolute most. And this is what we have to understand. That while we read this, we're reading along, and we read verse 2, and then a few seconds later, we get to verse 21. We have to know that the God that was in verse 2 would always be the God that was in verse 21. We have to know it. Why? Because we know that God's blessing to us is not always just external factors, but it's always going to be his eternal presence, his eternal power, and his eternal promises to me. So what is one of those promises? That he would never leave nor forsake his children. Never would he always give us what we want or what we ask for, but he would always be what? With us. Never does he just grant every prayer as we want it to be, but he is always with us. So it takes me back to February 26, 2016. It was almost 5 years ago in which we were at Mercy Hospital in St. Louis holding our newborn, Adeline Rose Keene. We held her. She's our middle daughter, and we get to held her. However, 6 days prior to that, when I look back, I know that God was with me in that hospital bedroom as I held my newborn baby, just as he was 6 days prior, 6 days prior to that when I read the obituary, led prayer, and spoke about my late great-grandfather. So within 6 days, I went from one extreme to the other as we buried the grandfather that pretty much raised me due to the age of my mom and grandma who were both finishing school and still working. The great grandpa who happened to be retired that brought me in as a young child to raise me. In fact, I can still remember, and I'll give you all a little bit of advice. Never walk on ice with your hands in your pockets. Why? Because I slipped and I fell and I told my grandpa, no, I'm okay. And literally 3 seconds later, I slipped and I fell. That grandpa that I got to read his obituary on who passed away on February 20th, 2016. God was with me just as much that day as he was 6 days later as we held our newborn baby, in which we experienced the depths of pain, sorrow, and mourning, and then got to see a beautiful gift of the Lord and hold her and kiss her and bring her home. And that was within 6 days. So don't tell me that there aren't hills and valleys that are just days apart. I mean, we can experience the ups one day, and tomorrow we may wake up and experience something completely different. And the thing is, we have to grow spiritually mature enough to be able to walk in each season knowing that the blessing of the Lord is not always in the external factors or circumstances we see ourselves in, but always in the fact that he is with us, that he is with you. So the same God that was there in verse 2 had to be the same God to be there in verse 21. And whenever we look at God's track record, we know that it is spotless, that when he claims a promise, he remains faithful to that promise. One of those promises, like I said, that he would never leave nor forsake his children. So I got to share an awesome moment this past week. Brian mentioned it shortly. I got to stand beside and witness our beloved church brother, member Kenny Maxwell, worshiping the Lord, lying in a hospital bed, fighting the effects of COVID, and just worshiped And he just praised the Lord. He had his hands raised and he just continued to worship, and he would sing with every breath that he could. And some lines he could sing a little bit harder than he could the others, and he would take a line off. And I got to witness one of the most beautiful things, because not only did he worship, not only did he cry, not only did he just sit in humble adoration of our God, but he said something to me this week that I also heard just a couple months ago. In fact, many of you may have been here. Do you remember a few months ago, right in the middle of a song, Kenny Maxwell jumped up on this stage and started to sing next to two of his children and one of his grandsons? Do you remember that? Right in the middle of a song, he hopped up out here, he took that mic, man, and he took it by the hand, and he began to worship. And he began to sing. And he began to stand next to two of his children and one of his grandsons on this stage. And I can remember, because Kenny and Terry had not been at church for a while due to, you know, being at risk and did not want to take any chances with COVID, I can remember him almost skipping out of church. I can remember him just, you know, Kenny Maxwell's smile and a little step and that little skip. And I can remember, man, he just walked right out of here. And I can remember standing at that very door on the outside as Kenny Maxwell walked out of here with a big old smile. And he told me the same thing that day as he told me this week. I am blessed. I'm blessed. And I came to understand, as he went on to share a little of his testimony that you'll hear one of these days, I looked at a man fighting the effects of COVID, able to worship, able to praise the holy name of our King just as much as he did on this stage. And I was able to see in a hospital bed that God was with him just as much there as he was as he sang on this stage. And I was able to see a man that walked out of this place as high on life as could be and as excited as could be and able to say, I am blessed. But then also, as he lay in a hospital bed with 60 milliliters of oxygen and his levels not increasing very much and not sure what tomorrow may hold, if it's going to get better or are we going to go down. And he yet said, I am blessed. I am blessed. Yeah, you can give it up for Kenny. You can give it up for all those that say. And this is the point that I have felt, because I've experienced it a lot more recent than I ever thought I would. But that the same God that was with Kenny on this stage 3 months later is the same God with him in a hospital bed. And this is what we have to understand. This is the point I want us to feel. The same God that was with me in my dancing will be the same God with me in my mourning. The same God that was with me when he knew me and he knit me together in my mother's womb will be the same God that will pick me back up, that will dust me back off, that will forgive me of my sins, that will provide for me when I need it, will give me hope when I am broken. He will be the same God that was with you in your brokenness, that will bring you to restoration. He's the same God that was there in the good, that will walk with you in the bad. The same God. And I cannot help but to think of this man. Who had a position of power that led to prison, was still considered blessed. And this is what I want you to know, church. You are more blessed than you could ever know. You are more blessed than you could ever know. I know you might not drive it, you might not live in it, you might not wear it, but we have to know that you and I are more blessed than we could ever know. And my prayer is that this point, the story of Joseph, the testimony of Kenny, maybe your own experiences, your own family and friends. Man, when you feel brokenness, when you feel like there's no hope, when we feel like there's no tomorrow, the same God that is there with us then will be the same God that's there with us tomorrow. Because when we come to a spiritual maturity and we live in a relationship with our Lord, we know that the same God that was there when we were dead in our sins and our trespasses was the same God that offered a way through the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The same God that we sang about that looks at us even in our own sin, but views us through a lens of mercy and grace, is the same God that will be with you, the same God that always was, will always be. And my prayer is that you and I would truly just take a moment and sit in awe. Just sit in awe of the fact that you and I are more blessed than we could ever, ever know. Ever. And I pray for just a moment as we get ready to close this service. Man, I pray that this point, this story, this testimony, I pray that it's a little heavy today. I pray that we can feel it in our guts a little bit today. I pray that we walk with it a little bit. Because here's what we know as we live just a little while, that life holds both good and bad. We do not know what tomorrow will hold, but as the old song says, we know who holds our hand. This life will hold good. It will hold bad. And I want my prayer and my plea and my hope for all of us is to know that we are blessed in the good. We are blessed in the bad. We are blessed in it all. That the same God with me in the good will be the God with me in the bad. The same God that was with me when I danced and when I was leaping for joy will be the same God when I am broken. The same God. And He's desiring from you to give all of yourself to Him to experience and to see just and to taste just how good He is. Let's pray.